It's wonderful to be here visiting you and worshiping together with you in at St. George's. And you know, as I was driving up Yonge Street, I was just thinking that it seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, that all along Yonge Street, 1,500 kilometers from the Lake Ontario all the way up to Thunder Bay to the States, the longest street on Earth, Yonge Street, St. George's seems to be the only Anglican church right on this street. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't that's really like a beacon, like a lighthouse on this whole corridor here. And I'm so happy to be here and to see this wonderful building. I was in the old building before this was built. Now, one thing that I'd like to ask you before I preach is, has anybody been praying for me or for the preacher of today? Anyone? No? Ah, my goodness. So if you don't hear a good sermon, you can't blame me. No one prays for me. Oh, my goodness. So often that people think that the priest or the preacher will know how to pray. Yes, we do. But we need the whole network of people praying for us to uphold us. So if you really want to have a good sermon, and you like to because you make your way to the church, you support the preacher, whoever he is, that he or she would be preaching the word of God. Please, okay? All right, well, that's one reminder here. Now, how many of you say the Lord's Prayer every day? Wow, that's quite a number. That's great. So you do say your Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Wow, that's a lot to wish, you know. The will of God be done in us, and the will of God, the kingdom of God will come. What is that kingdom? Now, many people say, well, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, that means when I die, I'll go there. But is that what it is? I don't think so. But some people say maybe the church is the kingdom of God. How many of you would say the church is the kingdom of God? You're not sure. Somebody are doubting. All right, you have all the legitimate reason to be doubting, because the church is not that perfect, right? The church has good or bad people. A lot of good, but maybe a few bad ones. I remember there's a story that somebody said, I don't want to go to church because the church is full of sinners. Yes, if you recognize that you are a sinner, you like to be forgiven, you come here. The church is not a museum of saints. It's a collection of sinners. That's why you and me would be saying together the confession, right? Done? Yeah, right. Yes, we are. So what is the kingdom there? The kingdom is where the king is, right? Oh, we call it queendom now that we have the queen. No, we still use the word kingdom. The kingdom of God. The church is the community that leads us into the kingdom of God. It's the usher into the kingdom of God. When we are baptized, or when we recognize that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we are the community of the wounded. We're the community of the broken. Because Christ was broken for us on the cross. We are the community of the loving God who love and care for us, right? So we are the community of the cross, of the wounded people, that Jesus Christ had died for us. And that, when we recognize that, we want to do the will of God. And doing the will of God and wanting to do the will of God, hoping to do the will of God, it's entering into the kingdom of God. So you and I are pilgrimage on the kingdom of God. You know, I love to travel, and when I go travel, some people say, what kind of profession do you have? What is your career? Well, I said, I'm a tourist guide. And they say, are you really a tourist? Oh, yes, yes, I'm a tourist guide. What kind of tour do you lead? Oh, I lead people to heaven. I'm a tourist guide. We are all on a pilgrimage, right? We are all learning. We are all students learning on this trip. And this trip is called life. We are living in a life that God had created us. So the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is where the will of God is being done in you, in me, in our family, in our community. But are we perfect? No, we're not. That's why we're here. So remember, the church is where the sinners come. Those who think that they are saints, they won't come to church. They think they're too good for it. But we are here because we want to say the confession, right? We have in our Anglican liturgy, even at the happy marriage, holy matrimony, we also have the component of the penance because we are not perfect. We are weak. Although God created us, but he has given us the wisdom and the memory and also the freedom to choose. Actually, there are only two choices, to choose and to choose the best, right? Yes, we all want to choose the best. And the kingdom of God is choosing the best to doing the will of God. That is to say, we want to manifest what God had originally intentionally created us to be. If you really want to be a true human being, you want to be divine. You want to be like God. But we can't always do that, you know. The things I love to do, I can't always do. And the things I should do, I haven't done it. You know, many of us, we don't very often intentionally commit a sin. But so often we omit to do the right thing. The sin of omission is more than the sin of commission. Not many of us is so bad that we really want to commit a sin. But the sin of omission, not doing the will of God, that's where we are, right? But today, our lessons are beautifully gelled together. Of course, yeah, we have been reading the book of Genesis, and today we have a terrible story. That crook, Jacob, who cheated his father, who cheated his brother, who tried to cheat his father-in-law. The father-in-law cheated him first. Terrible, isn't it? Oh, that story is really funny. But it tells us that there are some bad people in the world. And yet, even in the bad people, God made it good. Okay? Jacob had to labor 7 times 7 to win the girl that he loves. Well, he had a double blessing anyway. Well, anyway, now let's come back to the epistle of Paul to the Romans. I think that's a very good amendment. That's a very good supplement to our gospel. We all want to do the will of God. We all do want to be in the kingdom of heaven. We all want to be on this pilgrimage going to the kingdom of heaven. But sometimes we fail. So what happened? St. Paul in the book of Romans and the letter to the Romans, chapter 8. That's a beautiful passage. I wish every one of you will memorize it, know it by heart. It's so good. I just want to quote a few lines here. The Holy Spirit will help us to pray because we don't know how to pray. Do we know how to pray? Sometimes when we pray, we only ask for something. When we pray, we subjectively trying to manipulate God so that he will listen to what I demand. That's not prayer. Prayer is willingly putting God's will into God's hand into my hand and lead me. So the Holy Spirit will teach us how to pray. How beautiful. The Holy Spirit has the mind of God. It is there to teach us how to pray. I just want to tell you one little story here. I have four sons, and when my first son, Wilburn, was born, we have a maid who looked after him because both of us were working. And suddenly one day, we found that my son, who was only about 6, 7 months old, lining up the Lego, you know Lego? Like playing mahjong and doing all this, you know? And we don't play mahjong in our family. Well, especially when I came from Hong Kong, and people who play mahjong usually is gambling more than just games, all right? And I felt, oh, what happened? My son learning how to play mahjong at the age of 6 months. Wow, that's not what it is. It shouldn't be. Well, very often we, in our prayer, try to manipulate God. No. We are weak. We are not perfect. Although we want to do the will of God, sometimes we fail. But the Holy Spirit will help us to pray. Ah, that's a beautiful line. That really saves my gust, you know. And then there's another line that I love to say. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Wow. Sometimes we think something bad, sometimes bad, and so on. You know, I have a parishioner who was turning 102, and she told me when I was 50, my husband died, and I hated it. He is such a good man, and I need him so much. Why did God take him away? So I just didn't want to talk to God for 2 years. And those 2 years was like hell for me. I did not accept the will of God. I was fighting against him. And then afterwards, something clicked, and I suddenly felt that I should not be fighting against God. I should thank God for a wonderful husband that we haven't fought, we haven't divorced, we haven't been fighting, and we have provided a good home, although it is kind of short. And then I found out that my next 50 years have been such a blessing of praise and thanksgiving. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. That's something to remember. And then last of all, I just want you to know that neither death or life, neither high or low, neither peril or sickness will separate us from the love of God. Wow, that's a guarantee that the love of God envelop us, wrap us up, although sometimes we fail. Now, so remember chapter 8 of the Epistle to the Romans. Chapter 8 is such a wonderful, wonderful injection into us. It invigorates us. Now, I'll come into the gospel here. Now, if I preach too long, Doug, just ring the bell, okay? You don't hear me every Sunday, okay? Well, I will stop at the right time. Now, Jesus used the parables. Now, he could just tell us what to do, like a command, like a coach, like a staff sergeant. You just do this. No, Jesus did not do that. He said, the kingdom of God is like something. Wow, he was so observant in the daily life of the people that he invokes us, entices us, or enlighten us, or kindle us into thinking. Jesus Christ did not want us to just obey like being obedient to a dictator. He wanted to put some good idea into us that in our daily life, bring in the kingdom of God into that. When he saw a farmer sowing the seed, he was thinking of sowing the sower and the seed. Here, he said, although the mustard seed is so small, in his time, he thought it was the smallest of all the seeds. And yet, when it is put into the ground and grow, when you see the seed growing, you don't really see it. But it's growing daily, quietly. Quietly, just like nothing happened. And yet the mustard seed can grow to like a tree. In Palestine, it's like a big tree of 12 to 15 feet high, and the birds will come in, and the tree has birds. Well, I live in a condominium area with 10 acres of land, and there are several trees that gather a lot of birds. And at night, after supper, my wife and I just walk around, and it's so wonderful to hear the birds chirping around and making nests over those trees. It's just like that. The gospel, the seed, the doing the will of God, the kingdom of God is beginning small like the seed, and yet it will grow. It will grow like a big tree. Isn't it wonderful that he observes the farmers doing their daily work? And the woman baking, using the yeast, the dough. And some of you make your own bread, and you know the dough is just a little bit of that. And then you put it in, and it grows. It fermented. Wow, the gospel is just like that. The kingdom of God comes into you just like that. And it helps grow like this, quietly, and yet it is growing in all of you. Now, then he also observed the people digging the ground. You know, in those days, there's no banks and no deposit boxes. I'm sure many of you have deposit boxes and so on in the bank, and so you think it's safe. In those days, the safest place is where you stand and live, and then you dig a big hole and put it in. And remember, make a little marker, otherwise you'll forget where you are. I remember during the wartime, my grandmother had some little jewels and so on, maybe a wedding ring and so on, and there were thieves and so on. And during the war, she really did dig a little hole at the backyard and bury that little box of jewels. And later on, she forgot where she put it. Oh my goodness, oh, I still remember that I was that young. And she was crying and said, Grandma, what happened? I forgot where I put it. I buried it somewhere, you know. Well, that's exactly what happened to this parable. There are a lot of wars and fighting and so on. And there was some that's chaos. And so some people bury something there. And the people who be digging the ground, trying to discover, just like some people go down to the sea and find some shipwreck and get some treasures. Now, the Jewish law is the finder can keep what he has found. That's why, and so Jesus was saying that the kingdom of God is like someone who found some treasure, bought the piece of land, hold it, and the joy of founding it, the finding this great treasure. Doing the will of God is that great treasure. The changing of life is that, doing the will of God. So let God's will be done in all of us. Then he was also mentioning about the business people. Some business people will go all the way to buy the best pearl. You know, pearls are beautiful. It's not only attractive to women, but also attractive to men. When men see their lovely wife wearing some beautiful pearls, glistening and sparkling, and it makes his wife more beautiful. Well, I couldn't afford that anyway. But the pearl can also add to beauty and glory of that person. So here, the merchant will sell everything that he has, and he wanted to buy the pearl of the greatest value. Seeking to do the will of God, we should have that kind of eagerness. We should have that kind of vigor. We should have that kind of an intention of this is the best. This is the best that we have. This is ultra super best. Because doing the will of God is living in the love of God and living in the forgiveness of God. And that will be the best of all the blessings. And then later on he mentioned about the fishermen. Now I very seldom fish. Maybe I scare all the fish, but I have done some, but not very. But one time, that was back in 1977, and I was in Malaysia in Sabah, and we were having a meeting of working out the Chinese new prayer book. And at that time, we found out that one of the parishioners of the Anglican Church owned some fishing trawlers. And so we persuaded that gentleman to invite us to go up to the ship and to experience what it is of fishing. Now, fishing in the South Sea, there's a big trawler, huge, big one, maybe 300 or 400 tons or more. And then they have some very, very big dragnets or trawls. And they will just go right there and make a big, big round. And then they put in their whole drags, their whole trawl. And that whole net is about 2 or 3 kilometers long. And then they start using the machine to take it back, like this. And it takes about an hour. And wow, we want to go and see it. There are lots of rocks and stones and crabs and fish and everything that you can imagine from right down to the bottom. And then the fishermen were picking up the best fish here, and this way, and this way. And then they just took some and cooked it for us, and oh, it was the best seafood dinner that we have. But that was quite an experience. And Jesus was saying this, look at the fishermen. This is what it is. What do we learn from this? The church, being the community leading us into the kingdom of God. We are not yet the kingdom, but we are the transition or the school leading us to the kingdom of God. We include everybody, good students, bad students, everyone. We are not exclusive. We are not the club. we want everybody in. And then we work together and serve together. And the final judgment is God. Only God can do the judgment. Only God can send the angels to pick up the good and the bad and so on. So do not be judgmental on each other or on other people. And so this is the kingdom of God. This is the where we are living now. So we treasure every day. We sing great hymns. We sing, we praise God for every day. Every day when I open my eyes, I say, thank God that I'm still alive and I'm here. And enjoy your time together. The joy of the doing the will of God is of such blessing. It is not perfect. As I remember when I say this, the church is a collection, a community of sinners, not a museum of saints, okay? Let us pray together. Dear Father, teach us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy name be holy, thy will be done, and thy kingdom come. Usher us into your kingdom. Take us as students to learn how to live in your kingdom. Help us to be on this pilgrimage of doing the will of God. The willingness of doing the will of God, the joy of doing the will of God, and how we are being helped by the Holy Spirit, how to pray and how to enjoy being in the love of God, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Dear Father, help us and love us. Without you, nothing could be holy, nothing could be strong. We rely on you, we trust you. Father, we learn from Jesus Christ. May your Holy Spirit help us, assist us, strengthen us. Amen.